So I love those songs this morning. Just that turning our fear into faith. What's the opposite of fear? You know?
Love.
Right? Jesus says, tells us perfect love casts out fear. So, you want to walk in faith? Love. Be loved. Receive his love. So, we've been on a fun journey. So let's just keep on it. We've kind of been demystifying some things. We've been on this multi-week journey of the kingdom of God. And we've been talking the last couple Sundays about what it means to be born again, right? And what is that language in the church about learning to walk that way and be that way. We talked a lot last week about eternal life, right? And hopefully we kind of reframed it for you. Actually maybe made it bigger than you really thought it was. Because forever, for me, eternal life was always something that happened after you died.
Right.
And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's like the journey begins now. The journey of that eternal life. Eternal life isn't like, what's the little thing where they believe they're chasing the drink and they'll never die? Indiana Jones, remember the grail, drink this, anyway.
Fountain of youth.
It's not that, right? Eternal life, it's like there's this, Jesus came and described what life looks like. What does a life lived look like when you're totally aware of the Father's love, when you're totally rested in that place, when you're totally living out of that acceptance of his son and daughter? What does that life look like, right? So the word we have for it was, the Greek word was Zoe, and it's the word we translate eternal life. It's this God-filled, God-centered, Father love-saturated place of being and living from that place. So our journey to there is now, right? So what we're doing is we're learning to, like, again, shake off, wait a second, that's not true about me. That's not what he says about me. That's not true about the Father. And
right.
So we're learning to shake those things off.
Right.
That's the walking from fear into faith, right? Jesus, in fact, you all remember this. If you're, like, when Jesus goes to the cross, before he goes to the cross, he sees Pilate. And Pilate's trying to find out, who are you? And he, like, are you a king? Are you, right? He's just, who are you? And one of the things that he tells him, Jesus says, well, I'm the truth of the Father. I'm the truth of God. I am the perfect representation of the Father. I am truth. And that's when Herod goes, like, what? Like, what is truth? Because Herod's out of tune.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's looking to the world to say, this is what truth is. God says, it's heaven. It's the Father. Right? Jesus is in tune with the Father, and he comes almost like a tuning fork on the scene and says, this is what Father is. This is what heaven is. This is who I am. So I love how Bill Johnson says, Jesus Christ is perfect theology.
Right.
Right? Jesus, it's like we may go to different churches, and here we are in a little home church, home group, and we have different doctrines, different practices, maybe different expressions of how we worship, maybe different ways we sing, right? But you want to, like, sort through it all and snap the tuning fork? It's Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. In fact, if you want to know, you could say Jesus is the life of God. Jesus is, you know, we said if he's the perfect representation of the Father, he's the voice of the Father. He only says, he only does what the Father is doing. He only says what the Father is speaking, right? He says, I am the truth of him. I am truth. And we're talking about how do I live in this life, kingdom life, what he called Zoe life, eternal life, right? So Jesus is that representation. So Jesus is the life of the Father, right? I say that because there was an interesting conversation. I'll get to this in a second. But there's an interesting conversation because the religious leaders, they had a different definition of faith. Theirs was to be in that place where you could hear him, see him, connect with him, you had to like kind of like change and do all these things to progress to that. Right? And so there was a logical progression of things that you had to do, right? To like tune yourself, so to speak. You know that the teachers, the philosophers, the scientists of the day were no different. They're looking for truth. They want the insanity and the loud voices in their head to go away too. They're looking for peace. They're looking for, okay, if we just do this, we'll all be good, right? So they had logical things. Well, do this. Well, we'll do this. We'll do this. Paul goes in Athens and he has this conversation with them because the religious leaders are looking for truth and peace. The philosophers and the scientists and the teachers of the day, they're looking for it. And Paul comes and he says, you're only going to find it in him. He actually says this. He says, it's in him that we live. Zoe, eternal life. It's in him that we have that fullness of life. In him we live and move and have our being. That stumped them. They're all looking for this answer. Paul goes, I got it. It's Jesus. In him we live. We have eternal life. That fullness of kingdom right now. We move. This is how we do life day to day. And we have our being, and the word being there, it's like, it's a word that talks about our very existence is found, our satisfaction is found when we have that answer. It's the same word, by the way, when Jesus, before he goes to the cross, and he's praying before the Father, and he says, I'm in you, and you're in me, mm-hmm. Right? And he says, and they're in me, and I'm in them. That state of existence is that same word. That being, in him we live, and we move, and have our being. So this thing of this quest for like absolute fullness of life isn't found in law-keeping, performance. It's not found in a philosophy class. It's not found in a logical discussion of how do we take care of the poor, how do we... It's not. It's only found in him. That's why when Jesus says, and when you come to that realization and believe in that understanding, when you actually... And by the way, it's not a belief game here, it's a belief game here. It's like something wakes up inside you and goes, oh my gosh... This is who he says he is. And this is who he says I am. And he says, when you come to that realization, here's who Father is. And here's what he says about me. When I wake up to that, he says this. That's when you cross from death to life. Right. It's not about when I die that I want to do the right thing so when I die, I know I go to the right place. Okay. So anyway, just this thought about abundant life, fullness of life, eternal life. How do I walk that way, live that way, kind of like be that way? Jesus tells us it's only in him. So the only key, the only answer, the only door, it is Jesus. Because he's the one who takes us into the presence of the Father. Okay? So just some thoughts. I just wanted to kind of like demystify a couple other words for you. That we hear in church that are, I think you'll like this, right? Because I was thinking like, okay, my journey, your journey, is we're learning how to live that way, how to live in that place of kingdom life, right? And we're waking up, we're getting rid of some fears, we're getting rid of some lies, and we're learning how to love like Jesus showed us how to love, okay? The Bible has some things to say about that for us. And it speaks to our past, it speaks to our present, and it speaks to our future. One of them is this word redemption. And because a lot of times redemption sounds like I owe the bail bondsman, or I have to go pay a ticket. And until I pay the ticket, then I'm in trouble. So I got to go do something, right, to pay my ticket. I got to do something to get out of my trouble with the courts. Here's the truth. The Bible used the word redemption, and the truth is this. Whatever guilty verdict you had about you, right, has been overturned. There is whatever guilty verdict, whatever belief you had that was, I'm so bad that, right, I'm so bad, something has to happen here to make this debt go away, right? Because you don't know, Danny, I was a big cheater. I cheated on my taxes every year for 20 years, right? Something has to take care of that bad thing I did. Fill in the blank, whatever that bad thing is, right? We believe that, and the enemy says, oh, see that right there? That disqualifies you. There's no way he would call you son because of that. You're disqualified. There's no way he would ever come and say, oh, that's my daughter because you did this, right? Jesus says, I have forgiven all of your indiscretions, all of those lies you believed about yourselves, all those things you did because you didn't know him, all those things that you acted upon, right? Misbeliefs, bad beliefs. He says, in fact, he looks and he goes, what sin? He literally took away all, he forgave all activity of sin, all bad acting, all bad believing, took it away, right? Therefore, Satan has nothing to accuse you of. So if you say, but I did this, God says, I dealt with that. So that now Satan can't come and talk to you about it.
Right.
Because God says, I took care of it.
All I see is my son.
All I see is my son. Right? In fact, the Bible says that, you know, it says that he remembers our sins no more. Mm-hmm. Right? And that it says in Psalms that the Lord never counts them against them. Right? How did Jesus do it? The Bible tells us he took care of all of that at the cross. And here's the greatest part about it. Scripture tells us we were included in what he did on the cross. Right? We were included in his death on the cross. What did that do? It severed all ties with all our bad acting. It severed all our ties with all our debts. It severed all our ties with all our sin, right? Because of Jesus, right? So the person that I used to be, which was a wrong believer, I didn't see myself as a son. I didn't see myself as connected with Father. He took that lie and said, look, it's almost like cutting a string or cutting an umbilical cord with the old man, this old belief system, right? So the world I knew it as before is no more, right? So I have whatever relationship I had with sin, whatever relationship I had with performance, religious performance, whatever relationship I had with logical teaching and science to make me a better person, God says, I don't do business that way. I see you as my son, right? And he said that you're old. You know what created our identity before? Our identity was found in my behavior before. So if I was a liar, I called myself, I'm a liar. If I'm a cheater, I told myself, I'm a cheater. If I'm an angry man, I'm just an angry guy. It became my identity. When God severed it, he says, your identity is in him. Right? So now I can say I'm a son. Right? So that's what Jesus did. So that's what redemption does. Redemption severs. Redemption is a word that we use in church that talks about severing ourselves, cutting the tie, cutting the cord to that old man. right? Jesus says, I did that at the cross, and oh, by the way, I took you to the cross with me. Okay? Here's the next one about my present life. Resurrection. Right? Jesus says this about us. Just like he was raised to new life, right? You were raised to new life in him. So if this is the old man, the old kingdom, that's just living fear, out of fear, believing in lies, he cut the cord to that and said, that's taken care of, that's done with, that's what redemption's about. Resurrection is now, okay, now I'm going to show you how to live as a new man. I'm going to show you how to live under the rules of heaven. I'm going to show you how to live in this place where you're filled with the Father's love, where you're totally receiving of his love, where you're totally walking as a son. By the way, faith, right? Right? He says, I'm going to show you how to do that. That's what resurrection is, right? So, how did Jesus do that? And because this is, if Jesus is our representative, right, to the Father, and he says he gave us his life. What did I tell you about earlier on? That Jesus is the life of God. Jesus is his life, right? So, when I was raised with him in this new life, all of a sudden, here's what's cool. His acceptance before the Father is my acceptance before the Father. His faith, what is his faith? I know I'm his son. Jesus said, right, when the enemy came to tempt him in the wilderness, when he says, when the devil tries to trick him, it's like, are you really God's son? Remember that? That was his tempt. Are you really God? Jesus is like, I know who I am. I am his son. Okay? So that's his faith. His faith, guess what? Your faith. Right? That's what resurrection is all about. So his spirit? Thank you. His righteousness? His holiness? Now you're getting crazy, right? Your holiness. Here's one. His perfection? Your perfection. So when Scripture says, be perfect, because I am perfect. Right? And we, now, I told you there were two different rule systems here. There's the one where the religious people said, perform. The teachers and leaders and philosophers said, here's the process. Right? God says, that's not it. His perfection is what? In a system that says, be a son, be a daughter. Right? In him we live and move and have our being. We're like, the guitar didn't need anything added to it.
Right, right.
We're just tuning it, right? Nothing was added or taken away. It's all there, right? So we're alert, we're tuning ourselves. So it's like perfection's in the guitar. Perfection is in you, right? All we're doing is we're shedding fear. Fear just says you're attached to this other place. Fear just said you're believing lies. We're shedding that. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh. It sounds arrogant. Perfection? Jesus says it's possible. And again, it's not about a legal process. It's not about performance. It's about, like, that total being in sync as a son and a daughter. Right? Anyway. Look, because I know this is always the challenge. Can you still, if he says that about you, you're my son. I've cut the old ties over here. Can I still sin?
Yeah,
you can. Why? Because the enemy's constantly lying to you. He's constantly lying to you, trying to get you to, like, come, almost like come back. Come back, pick up this old mantle. Pick up this old belief system. Challenging you about your identity. Your faith, challenging you about who he says you are and who he says he is constantly. right? So it's true. We can choose to pick that up again or choose, but here's what's different. It doesn't define me anymore.
Right.
Right? Over here, it's like I lived in this. I couldn't even, it's like, I can't even like sleep with myself sometimes. You're like, because you feel so guilty. You feel so ashamed. And over here, it's like, wait a second. That's not me.
Right.
Right? So I may fail. I may make some bad choices. But here's what I know. And I always come back to this. But this is what he says about me. This is what's true about me. Right? This is what's true about the Father. This is what he says about my sin. This is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What does he say about the future? What does he say about our future?
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's true, right? And he tells you, he says you'll reign with him. And he has a word about it. You know what he says about you? He calls you kings
and priests.
He calls you kings and priests. Look, you've literally been rewired. When he cut the umbilical cord to that old man, and he says, and grace is transforming you into how to live this way. The gift of that with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, is almost like, it's like he's giving you this power to resist that. You didn't have an awareness of it before. Now I do. I know what perfect love is. So now it's like, wait a second, that's not me. That's not from him. It's like, I actually have an ability to resist it. It's like this revelation of, that's not of him. Right, so I've got this ability to resist the lie.
Right,
he's highlighted it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am now.
Right,
so look, grace doesn't remove the fact that this happened in my past.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it doesn't remove all the traces of my bad choices from 10 years ago and 20 years ago. But what it does is it empowers us to not do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says, sin no more, right? So we're not, over as sons, we're not just, oh, he set me free, I'm not a slave anymore. Oh, he set me free, I'm not a captive, I'm not a prisoner anymore. Right? That's true, but he calls you more. He says, now go over here and live as my sons, and my sons are kings and priests.
Right.
My daughters are kings and priests. Right? So, and as a king and priest, he tells us, in Romans 5, this, he says, now reign in life. That word life, right, that's Romans 5:17. That word life is eternal life. It's the Zoe life. So he says, as I cut the tether, now you're over here, my sons and daughters reign, and they do it in life, right? So they're releasing, they're ruling over, right, this life here. Right, so in Matthew it says, on earth,
right,
as it is in heaven. God says, live this way, live on earth, just as it is in heaven. So we're the agents of releasing that.
Right.
So now, right, I'm reigning over all forms of things that are challenging that. So one of those things I'm reigning over is death. I'm reigning over conflict. I'm reigning over sickness.
Right.
Right? So now, What does he tell you, right? What does he tell you to do with sickness?
Heal.
Right? He tells you what?
Heal.
He tells you to heal. What does he tell you to do with demonic oppression? What does he tell you? Right? What does he tell you to do with oppression?
Lift.
Lift it up, right? What does he tell you to do in the face of storms or conflict? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, speak peace, right? There's a, when he says reign, he says, I'm giving you the authority, the ability to step into all those things that are bringing conflict against
right.
my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Period. How did Jesus do that? Right. So we went through, right. We've got redemption, resurrection, and now reigning because he took you to heaven with him.
Mm.
I love it because he always shares that verse, Ephesians, right? 2:6, right?
You're seated in heavenly places in
Christ. In Christ Jesus. So we've been talking about how do we do life. We're doing life in him.
Mm-hmm.
Paul tells them, In Him, we live and move and have our very being. Jesus says, in Him, you're before the Father. You're in Him at the right hand of the Father. Right? So where does our... We're operating from heaven. Right? Our very authority is coming
right
from Him. So I just... Demystify, okay? We just want to demystify some church words, okay? Because when He says, in Him we have life, right? Redemption takes care of our past. That's all it's talking about when the Bible speaks of redemption. That there, that guilty verdict, that place of living where we didn't know our identity. We're trapped in another kingdom, right? Ruled by fear. Severed the cord. Cut. Right? There's no guilty verdicts because there is... The baggage has been cut off, right? That's redemption. Resurrection was, now, how am I learning, with that gone, now I'm learning how to live in Him, right? That's the resurrection life, right? And I get all the attributes of Jesus in that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, now reign. Now from that place, go, right? And do life. Anyway, I just, redemption, resurrection.
That's so good.
And reigning. And maybe next week I'll talk about reconciliation, because I think that's enough. But, we're learning what it is to do life in Him. In Him. The born again experience is the waking up of our spirit, the tuning of the guitar,
right,
like we
right,
talked
right.
about, right? You're actually just going, oh,
right.
This is the sound I was created to
right,
make.
Right.
I didn't know what a true sound was. I had no clue. I was out of tune. And He's like, oh, now I know. So now that I know the true sound,
right.
when I'm out of tune, can you see that you go, oh, something's not right? Okay, so and the Holy Spirit's job is to help you stay in tune, really.
And there's even another facet to that that we don't really think about, and that's Jesus said that the glory that God gave Him, He gave us, and so there's a place where we can walk in that glory, and all that glory comes from our intimacy with Him.
Right.
Yeah.
So the more time we spend with Him, the more time we spend in, I guess, regurgitating the things that He said about who we are and who He is and the things that we can do now because of Him being in us. When we're focused on that and that glory,
right.
we as a body have experienced God's glory. And God's glory is, like when Jesus was on the mountain, He was transformed because there was something from heaven that came and illuminated Him. Well, some of the things that we've seen as far as His glory, whenever His glory is present, things happen. Like instant healings, like, well, I don't know how many of you guys were in the building, but there was two occasions where He showed up as a mist.
Yeah.
That's God's glory. And it all came out of our hunger, our desire for more of Him. And so, I mean, there's, see that thing missing there? I mean, this whole room could be filled right now with mist because of who He is, who we are, and how He would just want to bless us by pouring out His glory. I mean, we can walk in that. It doesn't happen all the time. We've been fortunate to experience His glory. Not everybody can say that, and it's amazing. So my word of encouragement and admonishment today would be seek Him, because when we seek Him and we have that intimacy with Him and expect stuff,
right.
then His glory shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good word, Adolf.
His glory shows up.
Sorry about that. Man. That's a good word.
That
That's
basically
a...
just is His presence, right?
Right.
The sweet
no, it's
that.
Even more than that.
Okay, so...
It's even more... In his presence, we get a sense of feeling him.
You're right.
But when the glory comes, okay, let me put it this way. When we're feeling his presence, everybody's kind of sensing his presence in their own unique way.
Right.
But when his glory comes, everybody sees, like everybody saw the mist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody saw somebody get healed when somebody walked in, boom, they got healed. Everybody sees it. It's something that we can see. Everybody sees at the same time.
There you go.
So that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Where is
was the other building? The other building, they used to go to a big building on Unicorn Road.
Yeah, it happened twice. Oh, and not only that, but up in the rafters, we had these lights, and there was gold dust that was bending in the atmosphere. And then there were some people that had gold dust on. And even here, I remember one day we were just talking, and then I had gold dust on my arm.
I love that.
Did you do that? Yeah, and then there was one lady that she has it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Because she's always focused on it. And so she just looks for it and then she sees it. She sees it on her hands.
See,
so
if
good.
You share this in a regular, normal church, they would just go out. Glad you're happy and that's working for you, and they would just be like, you are so weird. And they might even come off and say you're like, you know, what's the word, like sacrilegious, like you're just like crazy. And like, because as soon as you start getting really close to the Lord and you start having these experiences, the people who are not having these experiences can't handle it. And they don't want to hear about it.
Right.
Because it doesn't fit into what their security blanket is.
Well,
here's what I'll say.
They freak.
Here's
like,
what I'll say. Just kind of close and I'll let you guys eat some food. I love that journey that we sang about in that first song where we're moving from fear
into awesome.
What?
Faith.
Into faith.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Faith is us living as his sons and daughters. That's all faith is. And from that place, we're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We're fully loved. We're free, right? So faith is the activity of a son and a daughter. That's what faith is. So we're learning how to live in him, right? In him. So, and this whole thing of eternal life is a life lived in him.
Yes.
Right.
So we're just kind of like, I'll just say you're normal. Whatever, you know, you're in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Your tuners are being tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're shedding lies from your past. Okay. You hear his voice very well. You have visions, and he's giving you more visions, and you're learning to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
You're not discarding them as irrelevant.
Right.
The things that are dropped in your heart about when you come upon a situation, and it may be one that's like, I should do something here. Maybe it's give something. Maybe it's pray for something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's love some way. Those are him. And so... you're all just by connecting even here, you're learning how to, you're tuning yourself. That's the joy of fellowship. That's the joy of being in community is you're stepping into that place. And we're all on different maturities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so we're all maturing together. We're all growing together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And faith isn't really nothing more than knowing someone so well that you know what to expect from them.
That's a great definition.
It really, that's all it is. It's like, we know Danny, and we know whenever we're going to hang around him, he's always going to be loving on us, because that's Danny,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
Well, when we get to know Father, Son, Holy Spirit intimately,
right?
We begin to know who they are, and then we expect certain things. It's like when you go to the bank.
Right.
You know that your money's in there. You don't have to believe it, you just know it because your money's in there.
Yep. So, who wants their tuner tuned up?
Yeah.
To be in tune with heaven. Want your tuner tuned up?
Yeah,
it's your tuner. So, let's just pray. So, do this. In fact, you know, just kind of, let's just believe this is our tuner. We're almost like turning the dial on the radio here.
Yeah.
So, just put your hands over your heart this morning. And we just say, Holy Spirit, this is the week where you're tuning us to hear your voice, to see you clearer, to walk in step with heaven this week. So, Holy Spirit, we appreciate you. We receive you.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
Yeah.
And we just accept our assignment of being sons and daughters this week. We love you, Father. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.